And you made terrible mistakes. David is your example. David, as you know, was up on his roof one day and he watched a woman bathing. Her name was Bathsheba. David lusted in his heart, being king. So he sent his servants to bring Bathsheba to him. He committed adultery with her. She was married to Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite is in the list of David's mighty men. Uriah was out fighting for David, fighting his battles. It turned out that because of the affair, Bathsheba was with child. David, being afraid that it would be found out that he was the father of that child, sent for Uriah the Hittite, his fighting man, to come home to be with his wife to cover up the adultery. When Uriah came in, he slept on David's front porch and David said, go home. He said, I'm not going to go home while my guys are out there fighting. I'm not going to come in and enjoy my family. I'm not going to do that. So David sent him back out to battle, and he sent word with him, and he told a messenger, tell the captain out there to put Uriah on the very front line of the battle. I want him dead. And Uriah was slain in the battle. David covered up his sin temporarily. So then he brought Bathsheba to his own house, married her, to make it all look right. Sounds like a lot of church people who try to cover up all their own sins. Finally, Nathan the prophet came to David and said, David, thou art the man. That child that was born died. Died for David's transgressions. David mourned that loss. But Solomon was David's redemption child. David begged God. Psalm 51, if you've ever read it, is David's cry to God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And God did that. And the second son that was born to Bathsheba and David was the greatest king to ever live on this earth. It was King Solomon. However, the sword never departed from David's house. From that day forward, because of David's sin, there's always, listen to me, even if you're forgiven, there is always an earthly price to pay for our sins. Always. David had one of his sons rape one of his daughters. And then another of David's sons killed the rapist brother. That son himself, Absalom, tried to steal David's throne and himself was slain. And the sword truly never departed from David's house, because after Solomon's reign, Solomon's son was Rehoboam. And in the days of Rehoboam, the entire nation of Israel, there was a civil war and the nation split in half. I fear that that's what's coming to our nation. You might, as an adult, think that you can live in sin, cover it up, and it'll be okay. And I'm here to tell you, it will never be okay. So, I mean, there was some good news. God tells David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels." Now he's talking about two people. He's talking about Solomon, who has not even been born yet, and he's talking about Jesus. "And will establish his kingdom." In verse 13, "He shall build a house for my name." When Jesus comes back, we are the house that he's building right now. "And will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Verse 14, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son." Now this is, the name of the sermon that I'm preaching is, "How God is Raising Me." I'm preaching to you from the experience of being a son of God. I cannot preach to you with the experience of a good father. I failed in that. So I have to let God be the example to all of us.
Number one, on how to be a father or a parent. And number two, how to be a child and what to expect.
So he says,
"If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee." So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Which would you rather have? Would you rather sin and get by with it? Or would you rather God chasten the hide off of you and God forgive you? Because I need a battery. Do I got a battery? Because if you will not allow God to chasten you. Now remember, God's your father, right? When your father chastens you, is he doing it for his pleasure? When God chastens you, is he doing it for you or is he doing it for himself? According to the Bible, God's doing it for your benefit. I would rather God humble me, humiliate me, practically kill me. I would rather God do that and have mercy on me than for me to live with the expectation that I can always cover up my own sins and get by with it. Because eventually you won't. While nobody else may be able to watch you, God is always watching. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That's "thus saith the Lord." Now, I've spent some time talking about how we're conceived. God loves us. God is our trainer. He's the one raising us. He's the one teaching us. He's the one that when we go through hard times, he's the one that took us through hard times to teach us a lesson. Raise your hand, say amen, if you did something stupid and you know that God got you for it and God took you through some rough things to teach you to never do that again, raise your hand. Look at there. That's what my mother and my dad made sure. And I remember the whipping that I got that I didn't deserve. I remember that whipping, Brother George. My mom whipped me, and I didn't deserve it. I didn't do it. But I look back, and I'm going, well, I did something else she didn't know about. So it all works out, amen? Now, here's where I'm going to take this for a while. Don't you listen to me. Everybody in here who has children and or grandchildren. Well, if you have grandchildren, you had children. Isn't that funny how that works out? It's a known fact that if your parents can't have children, you can't either. Some of you will think about that for a while. Let's go to the Lord and pray. You pray for me while I preach this, because it's going to be a little rough. Father in heaven, Father, we pray for Michael right now. Lord, I am worried. I'm worried sick. It scares me, Father, how close he came to death. I have every reason to believe the devil slammed that concrete truck into the side of his car for a reason, on purpose. If for no other reason, God, than to punish Michael and this church for doing what we did. And Father, what I want to do is to tell Michael, we're not going to go to Kenya no more. We're not going to minister over there. It's too dangerous. But God, I don't want to do that. Those people need us. They need this church. Those families get fed by us. Those pastors, they get taught and trained. And Father, we need them. They're living examples, Father, of how you can live for Jesus if you don't even have two shekels to rub together. You can still love God. So Father, they're as much an example to us as we are to them. And Father, when the devil comes after us, I do get scared. And it makes me want to quit. It makes me want to fold up and just shut it down. God, I don't want to do that either. But God, I'm not tough enough to stand on my own. I don't have it in me. So Father, I'm going to ask you to strengthen our feeble knees and help us to stand. Father, help me to preach this morning to me. Help me to preach to me and not anybody else. And help us, dear God, to learn the lessons, the hard lessons that we all need to learn. And Father, even though David did that horrible, horrible sin, you blessed him with the greatest son that a father could ever have. That was his redemption. But the sword never left his house. And Father, it may be that the sword will never leave Bethel because of our sins. But even so, so be it. It's better than what we deserve. Father, I ask your help to preach this message. It's going to be hard, and we need to hear it. We need to remember, those of us who have children and grandchildren, we need to remember that the things we do falls out upon them. So help us, Father, to live right for our children's sake. Bless your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Father, just give healing to Bonnie and help to Roy. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Turn to Job, the book of Job, if you would. There's a couple verses out of there I want to read to you. They just arrested a couple of people over in Illinois. It's a man and a woman that they found out they went on a multi-state crime spree. They actually killed a couple people. Went into their house, beat them to death. Man and a woman, and they just look wicked. There's no doubt in my mind that those two people have children. And when I look at our society today and I look at the wickedness that I see in parents, in adults, it grieves me because I know the effect of sins in grown-ups, in adults.
that carries down and affects their children. And there are some children who, without God intervening in their life, they do not ever stand a chance. They do not and will not ever stand a chance to have a normal, decent life, to be raised in a decent house, and to live for God later on in life. There's a little boy that runs around in this church that came out of a drug-infested home. God saw fit to bring him over to this church to give that little boy a chance, whereas before he would not have had one. Our own son, Caleb, would have been raised in a drug house had God not intervened. And it scares me to think that the sins of the father are laid upon the children and their children and their children. That scares me. As I get older and I look at my children, my daughters and my sons, I see a little bit of me in them. I see a little bit of Lisa in them. That's the scary part. Because we see our flaws in their life magnified. And I pray every day for my children and my grandchildren. In Job chapter 1, this is still, we're talking about the parents and how they raise their children. But in this set here, I call this the father's wicked example. If you have alcohol in your house and your children see you drink alcohol, what are you telling your children? Dad used to drink a lot of beer. I didn't ever did like beer, but he'd have a little jug of Mogan David in the fridge. I thought that tasted pretty good. He didn't know I'd take a little snort every now and then. Had not my dad not ever had that in the house, I would have never known that Mogan David tastes pretty good. You see what I'm saying? I could talk about a lot of other things too. Job 21 verse 17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? You know what the candle of man is? You know what the Bible says the candle of man is? The Spirit of God. It is God's own dwelling inside of, I believe, everybody. Because everybody's made in the image of God and they have the light of God in their DNA. It's in their DNA. And the Bible says that the candle of man is the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying everybody's getting saved because of that. I'm just saying that everybody has a chance to come to God. But how often is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in His anger. I want you to stop and think now. There's one of two reasons why your life is not going your way. A, it could just be the devil hates you for serving God. Amen? And he's going to trouble you, and he's going to beat you up, and he's going to persecute you, but God still loves you. Amen? God's got you. Or, it's not working out for you because you ain't living right. And you don't like how life is turning out because I'm telling you, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Especially the ones you try to hide.
Verse 18 of Job 21, they are as stubble before the wind and as the chaff that the storm carrieth away. Look at verse 19. Everybody, look at verse 19. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. That's the worst. I'm telling you, that is the worst feeling in the world. To know that your sin, because you wanted to have fun, because you wanted to commit iniquity, because you wanted to rebel, you wanted to sow your wild oats, God's going to lay your iniquity on your children. That ought to scare you. You know what I heard yesterday? We have such a tremendous drug problem in this country. A guy who works in the area of drugs and drug enforcement said that by and large, it's worse in the middle school than it is the high school. Who remembers what it was like to be about 12, 13 years old? That's when things started showing up in your life that you'd never had before. Thoughts and feelings and urges. And that's why in the 12 and 13 year old children, the drug problem is worse than it is in high school. But where did those children learn how to do those drugs? Where did they get access? Who did they see in their house when their mama was sitting up for days on end coloring and bopping around the house because the methamphetamine had kicked in? Or the children kept seeing the boyfriend coming over, the girlfriend coming over. And they said, well, if mommy and daddy can do it, so can I. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth them and he shall know it. Now you listen to God this morning. If you're going to get mad at God. I'm the mailman. God will lay your iniquity on your children. And the Bible says you'll know it when you see it. Now turn to Job 27. I like how that sounds. That sounds like Bibles. That's a good sound. Let's back up in verse 11. Job 27, verse 11. Look at what he said. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Let me ask a question this morning. Who's ever been found out with sins that you've done? Raise your hand. Now, who enjoyed that? Raise your hand. Everett, of course. See, God sent that little boy over here. We're helping to raise that little boy. You. So that the iniquity of his mother is not laid on him. So that he has a chance. Some of you young people, you've been raised in church all your life like I was. You know what the tendency is? Listen to me. You know what the tendency is among children who are raised in church? You know what their tendency is? When they get on their own, they want nothing to do with it. That's their tendency. And that it's got to be fought against. You don't want anybody telling you what to do?
You don't want to be told how to live. Fight against it, or God will lay that on your children. So Job 37, again, verse 11, I will teach you by the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all you yourselves have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? You know this. You know that what I'm saying is true, don't you? You know that what I'm saying is right. So why don't you listen to what God is telling you, is what he's saying here. Behold, all you yourselves have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? Now look at verse 13. This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of the oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If, look at verse 14, if his children be multiplied, it is for the sword. Do you know what the sword is in the 21st century America? The abortionist scalpel. Because the harlot mama just keeps putting out more babies, doesn't want them. I'll just go have them cut up in pieces. That way my problem's gone. You laid your iniquity upon your children. That's wicked. And if it doesn't happen that way, I promise you the sword is always going to be on your children. This is the portion of a wicked man with God and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Verse 15, those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. I'm telling you, this Bible's right. I don't know of anybody that I'm looking at right now that does not have a yearning, sinful nature pulling them away from God. Is that true? I've got it. My wife has it. Our daughters have it. My sons have it. I'm starting to see it in my grandchildren. And it aches me, it bothers me, that mine and my wife's sins of the past laid upon our children. That's hard to take. That's what happens when parents make themselves a wicked example to their children. I saw my mom struggle for years. When she first got saved, I saw her struggle. There was about two or three things that I knew that my mom really had a hard time with. And over the course of her life, I saw God helping her because I saw my mom fighting against those things. She did not want to be that way. And she definitely did not want her children turned out that way. Now turn to Psalm 21. I want you to listen now to God. And here's what I got a little debate going on in me. The debate is, I want to preach this so hard and so mean that everybody comes running down to the altar. But then the other part of me says, Mike, it's not up to you. I've been preaching long enough to know that just because I preach something, that in itself doesn't change people. I remember A while back, I preached real hard about Sunday night attendance. Thought I had everybody under conviction, and that Sunday night we had less than we ever had. And God dealt with me and said, Mike, you don't change them. I do. So even the preacher has to fall on his face and say, God, will you please help my people? I love this church. My heart is tied in with this place. I don't want to be anywhere else. 24 years ago, I begged God, don't ever take me out of this church. So far he hasn't, but it's come close. But I want you to listen to the Word of God this morning. Those of you who are moms and dads, and those of you who are children, you will soon one day become a parent. And maybe God will bring this to your mind one of these days. Psalm 21, verse 8. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. You have enemies, don't you? You know who your enemies are? Lust of the flesh. I have that. I raise my hand. I have that. Lust of the eyes. I have that one. Pride of life. I have that one. I get proud. God has to humble me. What's in God's right hand is His Word. His Word, if you will open it up and read it, God will show you what your enemies are and how He's going to defeat them. Verse 9, Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger, and the Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Who wants God to devour your enemies in the flaming fire? Say amen. Now look at verse 10. I'm going to wait for you to quit talking, all right? I'll wait. Verse 10. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagine a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. And Mr. and Mrs. Adult, I'm here to tell you, you've got devils just clawing their way into your life. God's going to lay that on your children. Because if he can get to you, the children are easy pickings. I want you to ask yourself the question, how many children do you think in this country living in homes with parents but are actually, for the most part, raising themselves? A lot. You know why? Because mom and dad's more interested in drink and parties and drugs and sex. And the children raise themselves. We got people in this church that grew up in homes like that. God intervened, but they carry with them the scars, and they'll carry them the rest of their life. And if I were to let them stand testify this morning, which I ought to, they would tell you what I have to bear in my life. You don't want it. They would say that as a word of warning to anybody whom the devil is just pulling at you right now, trying to just tear you apart. They would tell you, don't do it. It's not worth it. The price that you will have to pay in your children is too high a price. Psalm 78, and I'll be done, believe it or not. Boy, you're turning fast to that one. Psalm 78, verse 7. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. I've tried to make sure that my children knew the Bible. In fact, pretty much the reason why we ran a Christian school was for them. In hopes that at some point in their life, the Word of God would have an effect in their life, which I believe it can, and the Word of God would keep them and keep their hearts close to Jesus. That was our hope. So verse 7 says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's what I want for my children. That's what I want for my grandchildren. That's what I want for you people in this church and for your families, for you to not forget the works of God. Who in here has seen a miracle? Raise your hand. Look around you. Miracles happened. Don't forget that. Verse 8. And might not be as their fathers. Now, let me ask this question. Raise your hand if you grew up and your parents were lost and did not serve God while you were a child. Raise your hand. We got several here. Appreciate your honesty. See, God can do it. Amen? God can do it. It's not impossible. But if you continue to turn a stubborn heart, I'll wait. I'll let you get done talking. I'll wait. And might not be as their fathers, verse 8, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let me explain that word, steadfast. This microphone stand here is steadfast. Do you know why? It's drilled into the wood. I can pull on this thing, knock this desk around a little bit, and the microphone stays right there. John's probably going, oh, cut that out. It's killing my ears. That is a Christian who has been through the ringer of life. They've seen the other side and they said, I don't want that. I don't want that life. I don't want that handed down to my children. I don't want to see my grandchildren pay for my sins. So God, you nail me, you fasten me to your spirit so that I move not. I am steadfast with God so that my mama doesn't have to sit and worry about where I am and whether I'm going to serve God or not. I have brought shame to my mama with things I've done. And I want my mama to know when she goes to bed every night that her son is going to be okay. And I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. Amen. I want that for my children. And you will want that for your children. You will want to know that your children are steadfast and they're not going to go away from God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to wait a minute till you're done talking. The camera is just on me this morning. Is there someone here? I've had you raise your hand several times during the message. Is there someone here praying for their children? Raise your hand. Amen. Now, with an honest and an open heart, is there someone here who is worried about themselves and the effect that they're going to have on their children? Would you raise your hand? Thank you for being honest. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. When we set wicked examples in front of our children, we can expect wicked results out of them. Be not deceived. Whatsoever ye sow, that shall ye also reap. They that soweth to the wind shall inherit the wind and reap corruption. But if you will do what my mama often did, get on her face before God, weeping, begging God to help her with the draw that the world had on her, begging God that it would not be carried down to her children, and that she would go to bed every night knowing that God was going to take care of her children. And there was a time in my life when my mama wasn't sure. And I want her to know now she doesn't have anything to worry about. God has made me steadfast, and I'm not going anywhere. Is that your prayer today? So this morning, I'm going to open up these benches. And if you'd like to come and kneel here and pray, we'll have a season of prayer for you. That God, instead of cursing, will bring blessing to your house. Would you come?